Begin the current Tav, Sefta Shavuos, Tav Lamed Aleph. We begin on the second line down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Tav with different interpretations of the Pasuk Midrash Sheker Tirchak, which one of them will relate back to the halacha that we mentioned on the previous Tav. Simon in the Manik is Tlos the Talmud, three of students, V'tlos Balechayiv, three of collectors, Samartut rags, Shemeah hearing, Umatim, and giving a taste of placing before, in which these are mnemonics for the halachas that are expounded from the pasuk Midvash HaKetirchuk, three halachas relating to a student, three halachas regarding a bachayiv, a halacha regarding smartut, and shemeya and matam. Says the Gemara, Minayin l'tamid sheyeshav v'mnei rabbi. How do we know regarding a student that's sitting in front of his teacher? V'royos chus la'ani, he sees merit for the pauper, which his teacher, the judge, had switched it around, or v'chayiv la'asher, or a liability for the wealthy person. How do we know that it shouldn't be silent? Which that was the halacha we taught in the previous daf of Ein Eitzav Ein Tvun L'Neged Hashem. Is Tamalayma Midvash Sheker Tirchak? That's what the pasuk teaches. From words of falsehood, he should distance himself. Meaning, although he's not saying falsehood, but he sees something that could switch the judgment, he should speak up and not be silent. So to Minayin L'Talmud, a second halacha regarding a student. Minayin L'Talmud Shereyas Rabbi Shetoy B'Din. How does we know if a student sees his teacher making an error in judgment? Shloyeme shouldn't say, look, amtin loy achig mirano. I'm not going to let it go by, but I'll wait till he finishes. Vasartenu vavenenu mishali, then I'll destroy it and I'll rebuild it for my own and I'll show that the way I'm saying is right. Kadeshi yikare hadin al shmi. Not that my teacher should get the credit, but that it'll be called after me and say, wow, look what he said. And he got the true judgment. Tamalemin fashekatircha, that's what the Pasuk teaches, distance oneself from falsehood by not speaking up and rather trying to show it yourself is an element of falsehood. Third halacha, minayin l'tamid shamalei rabbi. For we're doing it regarding a student that his teacher tells him, look, yidiyatu atabi, the teacher says to the student, you know regarding me, shem noisim li meya mana, even if someone would give me 100 mana, enim avada, I wouldn't lie, you know I'm an honest person. So therefore, since you know I'm honest, mana yeshli etzel plane, I want you to know there's a one mana that someone owes me. Ve'en li alav ele erechad, and I only have one witness to prove that he owes me that mana. How do we know that the student should not go combined with that other witness to testify that that person owes his Rebbe a mana? That's what we learn, that one should distance himself from falsehood, even though he knows his Rebbe is saying the truth, he can't go ahead and combine himself with that other witness to testify that that person owes his Rebbe a mana. Now the Gemara asks in this halacha, "Hai midvash sheker tirchak nafka?" You know this halacha from midvash sheker tirchak? Havadi shakur mishaker. That's not distancing oneself from falsehood. That's a straight out lie. Rachmanam, the Torah says, "In shemayis leisan the bereicha eid shaku." You should not answer with your friend false testimony. What do you mean? Of course you can't. Ella rather explains the Gemara. No, it's kugun to amaleitz. For example, the Rebbe tells the student, "Vadi chad sadiesli." He says, "No, I have one witness that could do the talking in court to say that he knows that this guy owes me a mana." V'ta'ata kum hasam. You should just come and stand over there. That my litigant, my disputant, should think that you're coming to say testimony. He's going to say, oh, this guy's got two witnesses. And therefore, he's going to admit. But v'leitem v'leimidi, I don't want you to say anything. T'holle mafkis mi pumach shikra. You're not saying out of your mouth any falsehood. It's just, you're just standing over there. That's what the Allah is teaching us. Even that is forbidden. Because that's what it says, to distance oneself from falsehood, it gives the appearance of falsehood by standing there as if you're the witness, and therefore even that is forbidden. Now the three halachas regarding Bali Chayv. How do we know that someone's collecting from his friend a mana? He shouldn't say, look, let me claim from him, I know he owes me $100. I'll claim he owes me $200. So that he's an honest guy, he'll admit he owes me the 100. But then he'll be what's called a ma'id b'miktzis. He'll be owing me. He'll have admitted to half the claim. V'ischayiv lishvua, and then he's going to owe me an oath because he's going to have to swear that he doesn't owe the other 100. Oh, once I'm getting him to swear, then there's halacha called gilgul shvua v'galgul of shvua makamacha. Then I'll make him make an oath regarding something else where he was not ma'id b'miktzis, and then I'm going to make him swear through gilgul shvua, or let's say regarding a claim of land, where on land there's no oath. Only if it's coming through Gilgal, how do we know that he can't make a claim for more than what it is to get this guy to have a partial admission, which he really is admitting to everything. It's just that this guy's inflating the claim to make him do a Maid B'miktzis, to make him Michayv and Shvua, then he can make him swear other oaths, which that's halach of Gilgal Shvua. How do you know you're not allowed to do that? Although you're not lying, you could claim whatever you want from him, but that's what the Pasuk says, you should distance yourself from falsehood because that's not the real truth. The real truth is you only have a claim of 100, don't claim more so that you can get him to swear to get other oaths in there. So too, minayin l'noshel b'chaver mana. How do we know if someone is claiming from his friend to collect from him a mana? The tanei masayim, and meaning the other guy is claiming from him, he only owes him 100, but he's claiming he owes him 200. Shlo yemer, that the defendant should not say, look, I don't want to make an oath. I know I only owe him 100. Achfaren bebezin, I'll totally deny the claim in court, which that's not a moed mixus, that you don't have to take an oath when you deny everything. But I'll admit to him out of court, say, hey, what are you talking about? I don't know you know 200. What are you claiming 200? I owe you 100. And I'll give you the 100. But the reason why he's denying in a court is kadesh le'ischayv l'shvuth. I shouldn't be liable for an oath, because an oath is a really scary thing to take. And moreover, then he won't be able to do a gilgal shvua. This I know I could swear, because I not only owe him 100, then he's going to make me take other oaths. I don't want to be taking all those other oaths. How do you know he's not allowed to do that? Because although he's going to come out right, he'll deny, but he'll pay him outside, but just that he shouldn't make him take unlawfully other oaths, then you can't do that, because he's claiming 200, you have to admit to the 100 that you owe, and then you have to take the Maidim Mikdash Shvu and all the other oaths. Distance yourself from falsehood, even though this guy is inflating the claim, you have to go ahead and do it according to the justice. Third halacha of a Baal Din is of a Baal Chayv. Minayin l'shloisha sh'neishim mana b'echad. How do we know regarding if there's three people that are owed and trying to collect that same mana from someone else? They're three partners and they lent this guy money, a mana. How do we know? Shlo yehechad Baal Din. What they can do is like this. They'll split up. One guy will be the claimant. Will come to the rabbis, to the court and say, look, this guy owes me a mana. Vishnai made him and his two other partners, they'll be the witnesses and say, yeah, we know he owes him a mana. So that they could collect the mana that they know that this guy owes him, and then they'll divide amongst the three of them. How do we know they should not do that? Because, yeah, although they could say testimony, but they really are the Baal Din, and therefore that's inappropriate for them to present themselves as the witnesses for the third partner as if he's the Baal Din and try to take it out from the disputant. The other halacha, minayin l'shnayim shebol adin. How do we know regarding when there's two litigants who come to court? Echad lavish samartutin. One's wearing rags. The echad lavish it's stolis basmei mana. Other one's wearing a beautiful garment that's worth 100 mana. Sha'aymunle, that we tell that disputant, look, either lavish kamaisa, either dress like your rag fellow, your disputant, or he'll be shul kamaisa, or dress him like you, and give him fancy clothing. And that is that you should not cause to us that we should show favor to you because, wow, look at this guy, he looks distinguished. Or a different problem that comes up is because then your disputant is not going to be able to say anything because he's going to say, no one's going to believe me. Look at him or look at me. I look like the schlepper and this guy looks like a distinguished person. They're going to listen to him more. So therefore, how do we know that we tell this guy, look, either dress down or dress him up? That's what the Pasuk is teaching, that you should distance yourself from falsehood, which is that since his disputant is not going to be able to talk well, this guy's going to be able to say whatever law he wants to because he knows that he's being listened and this guy's not going to be able to talk back as much. Therefore, that's a problem of midvar sheker tercha. Similarly, the Gemara says, Kava also kamei de Rava Bar Avuna, when the disputants would come in front of Rava Bar Avuna, Amlo, he would tell them, Shlufu pus b'kaichu. First, take off your fancy shoes. V'chus ladina, and then come for the court. In other words, don't come all dressed up where I should be looking at you and say, look at this guy. No, everyone is equal over here. I don't want to show any favoritism. Now, the next halacha the Gemara continues from the Siman is Minayin Ledayin, and this one's going on the judge. From where do we know regarding a judge? Shleishme Divri Baldin Chaveh, that he should not listen first to one of the claims of the disputants. Kaidim Shleyavi Baldin Chaveh, before the other one even came to court. Tamalama, that's the Pasuk teaches, Midvashekaterik, distance yourself from words of falsehood, because this guy is going to say whatever he wants to, because this guy's not going to jump and say, what? You're a liar. He could say whatever he wants, and this guy's going to be hearing, the judge is going to hear in a one sided claim. That's midvash sheker tirchak. So too, the other way, minayin lebaldin, that it's not only a prohibition on the judge. How do we know regarding the litigant? Shlayatim divar bladayin, that he should not taste his words to the judge, meaning that he should start talking to the judge, kaidim shayyavi baldin chaveh, before his disputant comes. Tamalama, that's also learned from midvash sheker tirchak, that's also a problem on the litigant, that to distance yourself from falsehood, because you might be saying things that you normally wouldn't, because the other disputant is not there. Now regarding these last two halachas, regarding the same idea of not talking before the other guy comes, a prohibition on the judge and on the Baal Din, Rav Kana Masni, he learns it from the Pasig of Mi Leisisa, where Leisisa Shemeshav is, that's talking about don't carry, meaning don't listen, don't receive false words, false testimony. Now, so that's going on the judge, but moreover, you could read it as Leisasi, do not cause to be heard, which is a prohibition on the Baldin, don't cause to be heard Shem Ashav, because someone that's being matim his dvarv when the other disputant is not there, he's not embarrassed to say a false word. So therefore, that's a problem of encroaching upon Dvar Sheker, and therefore these two are included in Loisisa and Loisasi. Now the Gemara brings a related discussion from a Pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. The Pasuk says, V'asher le'toiv asa b'toich amav, that he did not do good amongst his people. What does that refer to? Rav Amar, he says, Zehabo b'harsha. This refers to somebody who gets involved in a court case that's not his own, but he gets permission to be representative, to be the proxy for the disputant. Now the problem with this, why it's considered le'toiv asa b'amav, because maybe the first person, the real litigant, it would have been easier, and he would have been more amenable to compromise. But this guy is representing, he cannot compromise in this guy's money, so he's going to go drive a hard bargain. That's considered le'toiv ba'amav. Or Shmuel Ami gives a different interpretation. It says, Zeh alekech sada sheyesh lo aleh asikin. This refers to somebody who buys a field that already has people that are contesting the rights of the person that he's buying from. And this guy comes and buys. Why? Because he's confident. My might. Yeah, let them take me on. That's inappropriate. That's like Teva Asaba Amav. Don't take something which is a contested field and say, yeah, you're going to win by might. Those are two different interpretations in that Pasuk in Yecheskel. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, which on the previous daf opened up this parak of Shvuas Eidus regarding the oath of false oath regarding knowing testimony, where the guy knows, but he swears he doesn't know. So the Mishnah said, Ein in the Heges el beruin lehed v'chulu. So it only applies that this false oath is going to make the person liable for carbon oil beyard, only if he was someone that would be fit to say testimony. Now, the Gemara asks, Lafuke Ma, what's that coming to exclude? Because it already said, except for women, except for relatives, except for Sulim, so it already excluded all those who are not fit for testimony. What's being included in that it only has to be someone that's fit for testimony? That Amar Papa says, Lafuke Melech, it's coming to exclude a king. Because the Mishnah Sanhedrin of Chesem and Alf says, he does not testify, and that we don't make him testify, and we don't testify regarding him. So since he doesn't say testimony, even if he would take an oath and say, I swear I don't know, he would not be chayav in Shmuel's Eidus, because it's only someone that would say testimony. And then if he swears he doesn't know, then he's going to be chayav. But a king who would not say testimony anyway, because he does not testify, so therefore, he's not chayav for the Shmuel's Eidus. Ravacha by Yaakov Amar gives a different interpretation. It says, Lafuki mesachet b'kubitz, excluding somebody who gambles, what's called with like a guarantee, which is a ravine, which is what gambling is, with dice or other times where he's taking a gamble. That is someone who is pasale edus, albeit rabbinically, and that's what the chiddush in this halach is. He's not fit to say testimony. He's not chayav shvus edus. Now the Gemara explains that mandam amasacha bekubi, according to the one who says that what's being excluded, who's not chayav shvus edus, is someone who gambles. Well, koshkein melech. For sure, a king who biblically is not fit to say testimony, because the Pasuk in Dvarim Yudzayin says, "Sayim tasim alecha melech." You should surely place upon you the king, which the Gemara expounds. That means to say that his fear should be on the people, and therefore, someone who's coming to say testimony has to be subservient to the judge. He has to stand in front of the judge, as we said previously in the previous daf, which is degrading for a king. So biblically, we don't allow a king to say testimony. So if someone who is only rabbinically possible to say testimony is considered that he's still not valid for testimony, and therefore he's not chaimish for his ages, for sure a king. However, Mandom Melch, Rav Papa, who said that what we're excluding is a king, of Mesach HaBakovi, but he would disagree regarding someone who gambles. He would say that no, because since since biblically someone who gambles is fit to say testimony, because biblically we only exclude an Eid Chamas, a thieving witness. That's someone who grabs away something from someone that's called a gazlan. Like the Pasuk says in Sefer Shaftim, Yigzalu is called the Bali, where they take away from the people of Shechem, that's considered someone who's biblically possible. But Rabbanu who the Paslu, it's only rabbinically that they invalidate someone who gambles. Because rabbinically they consider him like a thief, because they said Asmachta Loikanya. Asmachta is reliance, where you think when you're gambling, you're going to win. And therefore, although you agree to give in case you lose, but that's not a full-fledged acquisition. Now, since biblically he's fit to say testimony, so his oath regarding that I swear I don't know testimony is biblically going to be considered Shavuos Eidus, because biblically he could say testimony, and therefore he is going to be chayv. In contrast, Rav Acha held that no, since ultimately, if he would testify, we wouldn't receive from him, not because biblically, but rabbinically. So therefore we don't consider, like the Pasuk says, he's still not a witness, and therefore that's why he said that even Mesach Mekubi would not be chayv in the Shavuos Eidus. Now the Mishnah continued and said that this halach of Shavuos Eidus is bein is b'fnei bezin v'shaloi b'fnei bezin v'chulu. which, whether it's in court or out of court, now there was a machlekes in our Mishnah regarding between the mayor and the chachamim, regarding someone who takes an oath by himself out of court, if he's going to be chayav shvuas edus in that situation. Which the Gemara asks, what is their machlekes contingent on if someone who takes an oath by himself out of court is going to be chayav when he denies knowing the testimony and the shvuas edus in carbon of oil b'yared or not? So Amru Rabbani Kamed Rav Papa, the rabbi said in front of Rav Papa, will explain to you what their machlekes is contingent on. Bidon mina umina. Do we say that when you learn a gzeir shavim something, you learn out from it and you continue to learn out from the context what you're learning from? Or bidun mina ba'uki ba'asra? Or do you learn out from something and then the context, how you define its parameters, is from what you're learning it to? That's what kamiflagi, that's what they're disagreeing about. In other words, when you have a parsha, which is learning out from a different parasha in the Gzeir Shava, if you're going to go ahead and apply those halachas that apply to it for this context, in regards to what you're learning from there, because look, once you're learning from it, learn out everything that applies to it like that over there too, so then you can learn out for all those parameters. Or do you say that no, what's called Dumino Voki Ba'astra? In other words, yes, once you're learning from there, but then you bring it to this context, now then apply this context to all its other halachas, which Gemara explains now how that's going to play out over here in this machlekes. Remeir held that, and dun mina umina mipakad, that we're learning at the halacha of shvuas edus from shvuas bikad. Shvuas edus again is an oath of someone swears he does not know testimony, he's lying. And shvuas bikad is also someone has a deposit, he's watching, he's a shomer for someone, and the guy says, hey, give me back my object, and he swears falsely that he does not owe that person that object. Now, as we're going to shortly explain, there's a halacha of shvuas edus that we learn from shvuas bikad. And when we're learning from Shuvah Sabakadon, we learn that everything, that halacha that we're learning from Shuvah Sabakadon, will have all the context of the halachas of Shuvah Sabakadon, which is called Domino Umina, learn out from it and from it. And therefore, as follows, Ma Pikadon, just like the laws of an oath of a deposit, Mujba Mipi Atzma Yichayiv, if a person takes an oath by himself, he's going to be chayiv, as the Pasuk says in Yukahei, Ashi Yishav Alav, regarding the oath of deposit, he says, well, he'll take an oath on that, which that sounds like even if he takes it on his own. Now, which that's what the words are saying. He's going to swear. So we learn that from there. Af edus mushba mipi atzmechayv. So to regard the halachas of shvuas edus regarding testimony, if the person takes the oath himself, he's also going to be chayv. Which, as the Gemara later on, the Aflam Dal Manav learns out the halachas of shvuas edus from Gzeirah Shava, where they both have the word techeta from the halachas of shvuas bekadin, for the halacha of when the person takes the oath by himself, where that halacha, as we just said, says in the pasuk of Shvuas HaBikadon, but actually by Shvuas HaEdus it doesn't say anything about him taking the oath himself. But we learn that out from Gzeirah Shava, from Shvuas HaBikadon. To which the mayor says, Umina, and then therefore learn out all that halacha of swearing by yourself from the context of Shvuas HaBikadon, which is not Bikadon, just like an oath of deposit, Bein Bebezdin, Ubein Shalai Bebezdin. That halacha applies whether you're taking the oath in court or out of court. And the reason for that is because that halacha of taking an oath about a deposit regarding swearing falsely doesn't have relevancy specifically in court. That would make sense even in court or out of court. A guy comes and says, hey, give me my deposit, and he swears falsely. That would be in both situations. So therefore we say, af edus. So then the same thing is regarding the halachas of shvuas edus. And that is, even though regarding when the other person adjures him to make that oath, that halacha is only in court, as the Gemara says later on the next daf, that the halacha of Shvuas Edus is only said in the context of Mujman Pe'acherim, and the other guy saying, yeah, swear to me, and then he responds that he doesn't know. The halacha of Mepi'atma, as we're explaining, of being chayv, when he takes the oath by himself and says, I don't know testimony for you, is actually only learned that from Bekadon. So that would therefore apply that even Chutz Lebezin, like Remeir says, that's where he disputes with Rabbanan, because we say, over here is just like over there. Just like Shvuas HaPikadon is both in court or out of court. So to edus, when you take the Shvuah by yourself, is Bein Bebezin, Ubein Shalai Bebezin, will be even in court or even out of court, like Remeir said. In contrast, Rabban and Sabe, they hold, no, Dumino Voke Be'astra. Yeah, you could learn that Gzeirah from something, but then how do you qualify that halacha from you learning from there? Is how the context of what it's being learned to. And therefore, it goes as follows. Mapikodun, yeah, you learn that just like by deposit, the oath of a deposit. If the guy makes the oath by himself, he's liable. So the Gezeirah Shavah tells you, from Techata Techata, af Eidus. So to regarding the oath of not knowing testimony, if you swear by yourself, you're going to be liable. But, as we said, they hold Va'uki Ba'asra. But then you place it in its own context. Meaning, once that you bring it to the category of Shavuos Ha'Eidus, then we'll give it the halachas that are applicable by Shavuos Ha'Eidus. And that tells us that Ma Mujmem Pi'achem, just like when in the context of Shavuos Ha'Eidus, that if someone else is making him take the oath, it's only Bebezdin in, that only applies in court, yes, Shle Bebezdin Loy, out of court, he's not going to be Chayev, as the Pasuk there teaches, Yagid, which is only in a place which is Roy Lahaga, which is in court. So too, regarding when he takes the oath by himself, which that you're bringing from somewhere else, from Shavuos HaPikudon, that's also only going to be bebezin in, only in court, shalei bebezin loy, but out of court not. And therefore that's the machlekes regarding when he takes the oath by himself. Ezra Meir says it will be applicable even out of court, because that you learn out from Pikudon, and just like Pikudon's even out of court, so too here. Whereas Rabban hold, no, okay, ba'asra. Yeah, we learn out that Mushman Pi'atzmai applies, but it has to be just like we know by the rest of the context of Shavuos Ha'Eidus, which the Pasuk there only talks about in court, that halacha of swearing by himself will also only be in court. Now, however, as a continuum in base, that was the interpretation that the rabbi said in front of Rav Papa. To which Amalu Rav Papa said to them, no. Imi Pikudon Kamala Rabbanan, if it would be like you're saying that the rabbis agree that we're learning out the halachas of Shavuos Ha'Eidus, of swearing by yourself, from the halachas of Pikudon, the kul amalei pligi, then no one would disagree, that is, that you would be liable even not in court, like just like we learned over there by Shavuos HaPikudon, because says Rav Papa, everyone would agree, the dud mina umina, that no, you learn out and you learn out, which is like we said, that like Rameir, like the Rabbanan was saying, like the rabbis were saying in the name of Rameir, that just like by Pikudon is even out of court, so to Shavuos Ha'Eidus would also be out of court. Because Rabbanan agree, not like you're saying, that they hold dun mina umina. Elahainu time of the Rabbanan, so then what's the reason the Rabbanan, that they say that the liability is only in Bezdin, is because they're not learning out from Gzeirah Shavah from Shavuos HaPikudon. Rather, they learn it out from Shavuos Ha'Eidus itself. The Maisel of a Kal Vachomer, because they learn it from a Kal Vachomer. How so? Because they say, Umam epi acherim chayev, because if a one is chayev Shavuos Ha'Eidus, even if he didn't take the oath himself, even if someone else is educating him to take the oath, as the Pasuk says, Bishama Kal Allah, it says he hears the voice, the one who knows the testimony, hears the voice of the oath, who? Because someone else is taking the oath on him, and he's still going to be chayev for saying he doesn't know testimony. So when he takes the oath himself, isn't it all the more so a Kal Vachomer that of course he's going to be chayev on the violation of Shavuos Ha'Eidus? And therefore, that's why Yechayev mi pi atzmai too, even though it doesn't say that in the pasuk. However, but since they know the halacha of mujmim pi atzmai from a Kal Vachomer, then you have the halacha that we know is daye lovim and adin liyis kenidin. When you know a more stringent thing from a more lenient thing, but it's limited to what the parameters of the lenient thing is. And that tells us that ma mujmim pi acherim, yeah, you're learning out of Kal Vachomer from when he has to swear from someone else. But it's limited to that halacha, just like mujmim pi acherim. The Pasuk tells us bebezin in, that only applies in court. Shalei bebezin loya, it does not apply out of court. So af mujmim pi atzmai sotu, when he takes the oath himself, you're limited bifnei bezin in, only in court. Shalei bifnei bezin loya, out of court not. So that's why. But says Rav Papa to the Rabbanan, if the Rabbanan who disagreed with Rameir would be learning out, like you're saying, from Gzeirah Shavah, they would agree to Rameir that dun mi nomina. Now that Amalei Rabbanan Rav Papa, the Rabbanan, the rabbis, not Rabbanan the Machlekes Tanoim, but the other rabbis, the Amayram, they said back to Rav Papa, Mimit says Amit, could you really say like you're refuting the lab bedum mino mino pligi, that the Rabbanan and Rameir do not disagree in how we learn the Gzeirah Shavah, if it's mino mino, and like we said, they hold domino voke ba'asra, and you're saying no, they hold domino mino. It's just they're not learning from Gzeirah Shavah rather than Kal Vachomer. Is that, can you really say that? But Vatanangab Bikadon, we learned a different mission later on the Aflamavam Bays regarding the Shavuos HaPikudon, an oath regarding denying that he has that guy's deposit. Says the Mishnah, Shavuos HaPikudon, the oath of the deposit, Neheges Ba'anoshim or Benoshim, whether the custodian who's taken the oath was a man or a woman, Berchegim Berkraivim, non-relatives or relatives, Bekshem or Besulin, those who are vowed to say testimony, those who are not vowed to say testimony, Befnei Bezin, Shalei Befnei Bezin, whether it's in court or out of court, that's when Mipi Atzma, when he takes the oath by himself. When he's not taking the oath himself, but the other person is saying, yeah, swear to me, and the person denies, then Rameir says, actually, the liability is only going to be if he makes the denial in court. In contrast, they disagree, And here it sounds like the opposite of Amachoikas Ashuas Eidis, which we'll see is not coincidental in a second. Chacham say, no, whether he's taking the oath himself or through others, the moment he denies, he's going to be liable. Now, says the Rabban in the front of Rapapa, Mushman Piachim Bipekadin, regarding the halacha of, by deposit, of taking the oath by someone else, saying that he should take the oath, and that the custodian denies, Menaluhul Rabban Nechayev, where do the Rabban know that the person is going to be liable? Lav de Gamri Lama Eidis, don't they know of a case of Mushman Piachim that they learn that out the Shavuos Pekadin from Shavuos Eidis? Because by Pekadin, the pasuk only says Ash Yeshavolav L'Shaker, which sounds like when he himself takes the oath himself. Now, moreover, as Rashi points out, here you can't say like Rapapa said regarding Shavuos Eidus that no, they don't want Shavuos Pekadin from Shavuos Eidus. They know it applies by Mushman Peachem from a Kal V'Chaimer. You can't say that because obviously taking the oath yourself is more stringent than when other people make you take the oath. Maybe Shavuos Pekadin, which the pasuk only says he takes the oath himself, applies only when he takes the oath himself. When other people are being mashpia him, who said that halacha would apply of being chayiv on the isser of Shavuos Pekadin? Rather, proved the rabbis to Rapapa, it must have been that the Rabbanan knew that although the pasuk by Shavuos Pekadin only says when he takes the oath himself, how do they know, as they were clearly quoting them in Mishnah later on the Vlamed Vav, that it's even going to be by Mushman Peachayim, that they know from Gzeres Shava, from Shavuos Eidus. And from the fact that we see that the Rabbanan hold that by Shavuos Pekadin, there's going to be a liability in court and out of court, obviously because they hold Dumina V'uki Ba'asra, because Shavuos Eidus, they hold his own chayv in Bezin. If you're learning out this halacha Mushman Peachayim from Shavuos Eidus, well then, if you hold Domino Mina, then how could you say it's going to be even by Shavuos Pekadin out of Bezin? It should be only in Bezin, because that's where you know the halacha is from Shavuos Eidus. Obviously, because they hold Domino Voki Ba'asra, and that once you're learning from somewhere else, but it's coming back to the category of Shavuos Pekadin, so you say it has the whole halacha parameters of Shavuos Pekadin, which we find that it doesn't have to be an oath in court. It could be even out of court. So you see that they do dispute halacha of domino mina, and they hold that it's not domino mina, and it is uki ba'asra. So why are you rejecting our interpretation and saying, no, who said it's that they hold domino uki ba'asra? Maybe they agreed to remain domino mina, it's just that they're not learning from Gzeres Shavah, they're learning from Kal V'Chaimer. So on that, Papa answered, he says, no, you're right. Mahi'in, from that Mishnah Nevel Mevav, you do see, like you're trying to prove, that the Rabban hold domino uki ba'asra. But all I was telling you was Meha from their machlokes over here regarding Shavuos Eidus, Lekele Mashmina, you just can't prove it. You got another proof, I agree. And they do hold the Minov Kabasa. Just don't prove it from here, because here I could tell you that they would hold the Kabbalah. But you're right, in truth, they do hold the Minov Kabasa. Now the Mishnah said, Chayovin Azadin Hashvua. In contrast to almost every halacha of being Chayav a carbon, when you only if you do by mistake, not deliberately, but by Shavuos Eidus, if a guy knows he knows testimony and he's swearing falsely anyway, in that violation, he's going to be chayav a carbon oil v'yerid. So the Gemara says, "Manan mila." Where do we know that from? So the Gemara, the term "manan," because we learned in the Braisa, it says "bekulon" by all those pesukim in carbon oil v'yerid, like by Shavuos Bitui or Tumas Mikdash Kedasha, which we spoke about in the first two parakim in this Masechta. Nema behen v'nelam. It says, "But all those halachas," and there was a lapse of awareness. He didn't realize he did something wrong, and then he knows he has to bring a carbon oil v'yerid. But v'kano behen b'Shavuos Eidus lo nema b'vnelam. It doesn't say that he had a lapse of awareness, which tells us he was aware the whole time. Which tells us that this carbon oil he has to bring is just as l'chayiv when he does it deliberately as when he would do it by mistake. Now, another case that the Mishnah said he would be chayiv for is Val Shigagasim Zodna Eitas. When he wasn't totally mazed, he had some error with deliberately lying about the testimony. So ask the Gemara, Hechidam Shigagasim Zodna Eitas, what's this case? Which we already had explained in passing when we said over this halacha in the Mishnah. I'm Rehudim Rav, he says, but Omer, when the person says to himself, Yedea Nisha Shavuos Asura, I know this oath is forbidden, because I know testimony for the guy. But I don't know if you chayav a carbon or not. In other words, he was shagag on the carbon element. As I said in the previous daf regarding Shavuos Bitul Sha'avar, same idea, that's considered on some level like a shkaga, but again, he's still bemazed, and as long as he's not totally shagag, which, as we're going to explain in the next halacha, where he was unaware that he's saying something wrong, he thought he actually doesn't know testimony, as long as here he knows, which he knows he's saying false testimony, then also the fact that he's shugging carbon, he's still going to be chayev, carbon el-be-yerid for his false oath on not knowing testimony. However, the Mishnah continues, says, Vein chayavin ashigagasa gredasa. But he's not liable for a carbon if he was totally in error regarding this false oath, where he thought that he really didn't know testimony. He forgot that he knew, then he's not chayav. So the Gemara asks, Lema tanina l'drev kahano v'drev asi. This seems to be tanoik support, where if somebody thinks that he's swearing truthfully, and it turns out he was actually lying, that he's not chayav. So essentially the Gemara is asking, why was Rav Kahana and Rav Asi in doubt when they had a situation where they both swore, this is what Rav said, and the other one said, no, I swear this is what Rav said. And they had to come to Rav and Rav to tell them, no, you didn't swear falsely. What's called libcha anoscha. Your heart forced you to say, because you thought you were saying the truth, why did they have to come to Rav if seemingly our Mishnah is saying this halacha clearly? Says the Gemara, no. Because Avagav Ditnan, although we learned this Mishnah regarding Shavuos Eidus, Itzrich, we needed Rav to tell them that the same halacha would apply to Shavuos Bitui. Why? Sogad Adchim in Yehuda thought to say, Hachahu, it's only over here by Shavuos Eidus. The like Seben Elm, like we pointed out before, it doesn't say over there anything about lapse of awareness. So, the Be'inan Shogudumi Demezid, where there you need to have that even when he's mistaken, it has to be similar to at least some level of being deliberate. Which is that you have to have some awareness, which is this halacha, if you're totally unaware, so then you can be patur. Aval hasam d'chsev nelam, but b'shavuos bitui, where it says that it was nelam, that he was unaware, then I would have thought to say, afel shegagasa kol duhu, then even if he was totally unaware, that even if his heart was telling him, yeah, you're saying the truth, that you would still think it'd be chayiv, that's what Rav had to tell them, and that's halacha we learned about other mishmua. Still, the person has to be conscious; he has to be somewhat aware when he's taking the oath that what he's saying is that he's aware of the falsehood of what he's saying, and conscious. If he thinks he's totally right, then he's not going to be chayev, like we're saying in our mishnah regarding shavuos eidus, and so too, like Rav was teaching them, he's not going to be liable for a shavuos bitui either. The Gemara continues the next mission, which qualifies the halacha shavuos eidus ketzad. So, what is this halacha of taking an oath regarding claiming that you don't know testimony, which is being said falsely, and then it's found out, and then you're going to be chai of carbon oil v'yard. So the Mishnah says, "Amal shnayim bayu v'hiduni." It's where a person says, "I have a court case with someone. Come and say testimony for me because you guys can help me win the case." On that, they say, "Shvua she'en onu yoyin l'chaedus." We swear we don't know testimony for you. Aisha amalai, or it's where they say to him without an oath, they say, "Look, ain onu yoyin l'chaedus. We don't know testimony for you." And then he says to them, "Mashbiani aleichem, I'm making you guys swear that what you're saying is true." The amru amen, and they say yes, which is an acceptance of the oath. Harei elu chayavin. So then they're liable. But if let's say they were silent after the oath, that wouldn't be considered receiving the oath, and then they wouldn't be liable. But if they answer amen, if either they say it on their own or they say amen, then that's going to make them liable for that swearing falsely regarding not knowing testimony. The Mishnah continues. It says, let's say they weren't in court yet. He wants to go to court. So he goes to these two guys who he knows were witnesses. He says, "Guys, come and please say testimony for me." And they say, "We don't know." And he says, "I want you to swear." And they swear. And he comes back a few hours later. He goes, "Guys, come on, you know testimony." They say, "We don't know." "Yeah, swear." And he does this five times. Then they come to court and they admit that they swore falsely and really they know testimony. Says the Mishnah Paturin, then they're going to be exempt. Where even though they denied out of court on every oath that he made them swear, but that does not have validity in halacha regarding a denial out of court, as Gemara is going to explain, and therefore that's not considered as violating the Shavuos Eidus until he actually comes to court. And since once they came to court, they admitted they're not going to be chayv on any of those violations of Shavuos Eidus. But says the Mishnah of let's say after they denied five times for him out of court, they then come into court, and then they deny again in court. Then they're going to be liable for every one of those denials, which is going back on the previous halacha. And it's going on all those denials, because we, as the Gemara will learn out from a pasuk, says, if someone's going to be liable for one of these, which sounds like for every one of them, a person is going to be liable. And therefore, this is going to be a situation where that for every single one, he's going to be liable for a carbon of a false Shavuos Eidus. However, says the Mishnah, let's say Hishbialein Heipam and Bifnei Bezin V'Kafu. Let's say they're in court already, and the guy says, "What are you guys talking about? You know testimony for me. I want you guys to swear." And they swear. And again, 10 minutes later, the guy gets very heated, goes, "You guys know testimony. I want you to swear." And they deny five times. Says the Mishnah, Einan Chayavin Ela Achas. They're only liable for one carbon shvua for the first denial. And on Reb Shimon, he says, "Matam. what's the reason they're only going to be liable for one, even if they didn't deny right away? They were silent, and they waited till after he said five times, I want you guys to swear, and then they deny all of those five times. We don't say that the denial is going to go on all of them. Why? Because they cannot come back and admit. In other words, if they had denied the first time when he was saying, I want you to swear to me that you know testimony, since they're already in court, which is in contrast to the previous halacha, they wouldn't be able to say testimony anymore. Because even if they want to admit, there's a halacha of kivin shehigit shuv ein chazer magid. Once you say testimony in court, which they already testified by denying the first time that they don't know testimony, they can't go now and say that, oh, we want to admit and we know testimony. And therefore, even if they didn't deny until the end, every one of those oaths were in vain besides the first one. Because as Rashi explains, even if you're saying they were silent, but whichever way you qualify that silence, you can't go and now have a reaction to the later oaths. Because if you say the silence is considered a denial, so then they can't say, that you can't make another oath on them because they can't say testimony anyway. And if it's not a denial, so then they already admit that they know and they're already beholden by their first oath. So the later oath will only be a shvua chala shvua. So they, either way, you can't say that the silence will be anything more than either denying or admitting. And either way, if you deny, then you can't say testimony anyway. And if you it's like an admission, so you already chai from the first shvua, you can't have a shvua chala shvua. So obviously, as we'll see in the Gemara, when it says in the pasuk la'achas, which the Gemara will tell us is liable for every single one, it must be like the previous case of the Mishnah, where he made them swear out of court, and they denied it five times out of court, and then they come and they deny it in court, where those oaths that were out of court, there, they could have came to court and said testimony. And therefore, every one of those oaths were not in vain, because they could be divided, because even if they would have denied by the first oath, they could still have come and admitted when he was telling him the second time an oath, the third time an oath, they could have admitted and claimed and said, yes, we do know and do testify, because there's no problem of kima shehigat shuv ein chazer magid out of court, because that wasn't a haggadah yet. So therefore, as we'll see in the Gemara, regarding the previous case when he told them five times out of court, I make you swear, and then they come into court and they deny, then that's going to be on every single one of them considered denial and the chiyuv of karban shvuah, because even though you swore, let's say the first two times, you don't know, but since you didn't deny in court, you could still change and say testimony. So there's considered a violation that each one individually, in contrast, in court itself, the first time already, you can't have another shvua after that, because whether you deny, you admit, either way, especially in the case I was describing, if you deny, so then you can't go ahead and admit afterwards, because you already, so to speak, said testimony that you don't know testimony, and then you can't testify. So there were only the first one is valid in court, in contrast to the other ones. Now, continues the Mishnah, kafir shnein ke'echad. If let's say the two witnesses denied at the same time, meaning what's called techirei dibur, in the time frame of when the other one had just finished speaking in like 2 or 3 seconds, so then shnein chayav, and then both witnesses are going to be liable for this false oath of not knowing testimony. But b'zachazef, let's say one first denied, and then later the other one denied, then harishim chayav hasheni pateh, so the first one is going to be liable because they were up until him, there was two witnesses who could have testified. The second one is going to be exempt because once the first one denied, then he already says he doesn't know. He's only one last witness standing. And anyway, he's not Roy Lahagin because as an individual witness, we said the Chiyuv of Shuvas Eid is only someone that can say testimony, and a singular witness does not have legitimacy in court. And therefore, even if he says a false oath, he's not going to be Chayiv in Shuvas Eid. Now, says the Mishnah, kafir echad v'hoide echad. Let's say one of them denies and one of them admits. One of them says, I don't know. Another one says, yeah, I admit, I do know testimony. So the one who's admitting, obviously, not chayv. Ha-kayv ha-chayv, the one who denies, is going to be liable. And then we're going to explain what's the chiddush in this halacha. Says the Mishnah, ha-yushtei kita edim. Let's say there were two groups of witnesses. Two and two. So on that, says the Mishnah, kafir harishayna v'achekach kafir shni. Even though this is what's called zachar zeh, first the first group of witnesses deny they know testimony, then the second one denies, shtein chayavis, they're both going to be liable for the karban shvua. And the reason for that is because here the testimony would be valid on either one. So even though the first one already denied, the second one themselves, when they do it, whether the first guy in that pair or touch they did, but they both say it, they could have, they are roi lahagit, and therefore they can be chayav, both of them, a karban shvua.